Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
If you would like to turn your Bibles to the first chapter of the book of Matthew. Title of my message this morning is Choosing to Raise a King. How many of you this can relate a story of your birth? Let me see. How many of you can relate a story of your birth? Now, I know that you probably don't remember it personally. If you do, we're really impressed. But perhaps your mother and dad have told you the story of when you were born. Anybody? How many? Come on, let me see. Don't be bashful. That's right. This is your participation moment. Yeah, okay. See, really, we all have a story, whether you know it or not. There is a story that goes along with it. Our oldest son, his story was that mom wanted sausage, pepperoni, and extra cheese pizza from Pizza Hut. And she was a few days past the due date and, you know, kind of nervous because they told us in the Lamaze classes, you know, be careful what you eat the next few days because you may have to live with it. And she said, I'm just tired of this. I want to go get pizza. So we went and had pizza and then went walking through Walmart, wasn't it, Sharon? I see you back there. And we go walking through Walmart and her water broke. So we have a story. I did find a story. This is Rob's story. He said, our daughter Ella was born on July 10th, 2005 in a small hospital on the north shore of Oahu, Hawaii. I was a 26-year-old pizza delivery guy that hadn't finished college. Needless to say, her birth changed my life for the better. Basically, I was in charge of everything easy. Change the channel on the TV, get more ice, make sure Sharon's cords didn't get tangled while she was going to the bathroom and remind her of how to breathe. Anything that didn't require a medical degree or any degree at this point. A lot of what I tried to do to make Sharon feel better was done beforehand. I went to the birthing classes and watched videos of women delivering their children. I took a tour of the hospital and pretended to read what to expect when you're expecting. I also became a master of the classic he-he-ho Lamaze breathing. Or that should be who. He-he-who. There we go. During the actual delivery, Sharon noticed she could see my tongue during the whos. She finally screamed out, stop hooing! I can see your ugly tongue. It looks like a slimy worm. Fortunately, I'd already had 9 months of hormonal pregnancy to prepare me for this moment, and I made sure that my tongue was not seen again for the rest of the delivery. I remember thinking, I can't believe this is happening right now. I'm going to be a dad. I can't believe I'm going to be someone's dad. I hope she gets Sharon's smile. Should I grab the camera? Should I be standing by Sharon's side or closer to the action? What if I don't feel anything different when I see her? Why are we naming her Ella? We have less than $300 in our checking account. I hope she gets Sharon's eyes. I wonder if she already knows how much we love her. For most of the delivery, I was just the nurse, Sharon and me. It was just the nurse, Sharon and me. Ella was born in Hawaii, and our family were a few thousand miles away. I love it. Sometimes when people are around, I am worried I'm not going to have the right reaction. Like when someone gives me a birthday present and I hope my face looks how they wanted it to look when I opened it. Not that I'm comparing the birth of my daughter to a pair of socks, but just that when it was just Sharon and me, my reaction could be sincere. Let's see, I have to be careful here. I don't want to tell too much. Oh, this should be all right. Yeah, I don't know. Nah, I shouldn't do that. Okay, well, the little one had long black hair, and for a few minutes it looked like Sharon was going to give birth to a puppy. Sharon pushed some more, and I was relieved to see the face of a baby. I felt hopeful, like this little baby could be or do anything she wanted to be. I wanted to give her that, like the horrible Creed song, with arms wide open. Ha ha. It was the first time I had ever felt instant love for anyone or anything. I was proud to be her father. I wanted to hold her. I had pretty much kept myself together until I saw Sharon holding Ella. I tried to say, "Look at my girls," but I couldn't because I started to cry, and I was so happy. There's a moment when the doctor was first holding her, and I can see her little face. She kept sticking out her tongue. I loved that she was doing exactly what I had just been yelled at for by my wife. Sharon was even crazy enough to ask the doctor if there was something wrong with her tongue. "Nope, nothing wrong," he said. "Ella just had a worm tongue like mine." Sharon was induced a week before her due date. We knew exactly when we were going to be admitted to the hospital in preparation. We rented the movie Danny deck chair to watch during the induction. Horrible choice that I still feel bad about. There must have been a better option in 2005. If Ella has horrible taste in movies, it's all our fault. Everybody has a birth story. Listen to this one. In verse number 18, Matthew writes, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about." It's the birth story. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph before they came together. She was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Master, we thank you this morning for your birth story. Thank you for all the details. Those that we have written here in Matthew, those that we find in Luke's gospel. Thank you for giving us the story. There have been many songs that we have written and sung, many words of thanksgiving and praise that have been offered up because you gave us this story. So we thank you for it this morning. And we ask for your help as you make this story personal to us. Guide us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Something that we should recognize is that this is the birth of Jesus through Joseph's story. If you go to the book of Luke, you will find Mary's story that is written. Words like, "and his mother kept these in her heart." We learn from those who have studied these things for many, many years, and also from the words and the verbiage and everything, that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was one of the consultants, if you will, for Luke's gospel when he wrote it. But here, this is called the gospel of the king. And even though Joseph was not the blood father of Jesus, he was going to be the one who was charged with raising him. Tremendous responsibility. If you want an interesting study, by the way, of the male versus the female perception, do a study, lay these out beside them, one another, both the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, and Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, and look at the gender, if you will, inferences that come out. Generally when we guys tell this story, it doesn't have a lot of color to it. It is just the facts, ma'am. The same story that I gave about our oldest son, if you were to ask my wife, it will sound a tremendous, greatly different for many reasons, but she would put the color to it. Luke's gospel has more color than Matthew's gospel. But there are some things here that I think are very important. See, through Joseph's own good choices, he was given the privilege of raising the Son of God, the King of Israel. I think that all of us continually need to be measuring the choices that we make, not knowing what the ramifications may be of those choices. I would just offer this for a thought for you, how much different the life of Jesus would have been if Joseph wouldn't have accepted his responsibility. Had Jesus been raised by Mary on her own. You see, we can see down here in verse number 18 that there was an unexpected reality that came. Do any of you ever have some unexpected realities in your life? Once in a while, right? Yesterday, I was trying to call out on the phone, and everybody that I called, the phone was busy. I thought, man, how is this even possible? That everybody that I'm calling, their phone is busy. This morning when I came here, I was calling the funeral home to find out what time that they were bringing John here to the sanctuary, and their phone was busy. And then it dawned on me, maybe it's not them. So I took my cell phone and I called Chastain Funeral Home, and it rang just perfectly. So, this is a sidebar, but if you happen to try to call the church and can't get through, it's an unexpected reality. For like the fourth or fifth time this year, our phones are out. I will mention that the last time that they went out, they were out for 8 days, and somebody had taken our line and was making long-distance phone calls, so we got a $9,000 phone bill. Yeah, try to deal with those people in India over that. Unexpected realities. Put yourself for just a moment in Joseph's shoes, sandals. He's engaged. He and his future wife have never been sexually intimate. He knows that. But she comes to him and says, I'm expecting. I'm pregnant. Now, it wouldn't take too much for him to realize that something's up. Huh? How many of you guys would have, at that moment, you would have known that something was up? Some of you wouldn't have. Ladies, would you explain this to him later, please? There had to be somebody else involved. Something's going on. Something has happened that has changed the whole circumstance. Now, I want you to realize there was nothing spiritual about this reality. Okay? You know, these thousands of years that we're standing later, we spiritualize this whole thing. But for Joseph, there was nothing spiritual about this. There was just this new reality that this young gal, who he had been espoused to marry, now is telling him that she is expecting. And I think most all of the men in here have already determined what your response would be. Huh? I don't want to hear how this happened. Huh? Come on, guys. Just give me a nod. You don't have to confess to it. Just wink at me. Left eye only, please. You see, this was just as real to Joseph as it would be to any of us. And that's what we need to recognize. He was facing an unbelievable reality on that day. There wasn't anything he could do to change it. There wasn't anything that she could say that could really explain it. I mean, the Lord, the Holy Spirit came upon me. Uh-huh. When has that ever happened before? It says, before they came together, before they consummated the marriage through sexual intercourse, she was found to be with child. Matthew adds, through the Holy Spirit. That's just so that we would know early on and not judge too harshly. Think about the surprise. Think about the anger. Think about the disappointment, the confusion that went through Joseph's mind. How could she do this? Even if it was a assigned marriage, you know, if their parents had gotten together and made this choice, and there was no excuse that could be found in this moment that would justify what had just taken place. You with me? What about her parents? What about his parents? We don't know of other relatives that they may have had. We know that she had other relatives. We know from Elizabeth was a relative of hers. And so there were other relatives involved. You know, do you tell anybody? Do you keep this to yourself? I'm telling you, this was an unexpected reality that brought forth an unbelievable amount of what in the world are we going to do? Now I ask you this question. Why would God do this to somebody? Huh? Now, just follow my lead here just a little bit. Now, wouldn't it have made more sense if God would have set the two of them down? You know, sent the angel. Say, now the two of you sit down. Here's my plan. Okay? The Holy Spirit is going to come upon her and she is going to become pregnant with a child. And Joseph, then you're going to raise this child. And this child then is going to save the people from their sins. And then the angel says, now Mary, do you agree to this? And Mary says, well, okay. Joseph says, okay, do you agree? The angel says, do you agree with this, Joe? Joseph says, never heard of it before, but I guess if that's what God wants to do. And then she was impregnated. Now wouldn't that have made more sense? Come on, help me. We can rewrite this thing. But that's not what happened. The Lord comes to Mary and tells her, you read the account, tells her this is what's happening to you, comes to Joseph and tells Joseph this is what has happened to Mary. How could God do that? You see, what we have here is God's plan unfolding in two individuals' lives, and they have the opportunity to accept it or reject it. You realize that in these few verses here, these six verses or so, that is really what is at stake of whether or not Joseph the man, Joseph, will accept the reality that God has placed before his life. And can I tell you this morning, it was a big one. Could you agree with me on that? It was huge. Now, what we begin to see then is how this unfolded in Joseph's life. In verse number 19, it says, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. What does this mean? Well, I call it character's choice. Joseph's character begins to come out in this moment. He would be fully justified to have stood up in accordance with the law and practices of the nation of Israel, to have gone out into the street and pointed his finger at her and said, she has been unfaithful. And you know what they would have done? They would have gathered up stones and they would have stoned her and left a heap of stones there, calling it Mary and her transgressions. He was fully and completely within the law to have addressed this situation in that way. But we have in that verse 19 there, because he was righteous. In other words, because he lived to the law of God, because he offered the required sacrifices, because he paid his tithes, that was important in that day, and he sought the will of God's purposes for his life, he was a man in right standing before God. And his character said, I will put her away quietly. Because you see, there was also a clause within the law that said a private divorce could take place. It required the gathering of two individuals to come and stand as witnesses. But then the divorce would take place. No one else needed to know about it. And so that's what he was planning to do. Now, this says many things to us. Number one, he wasn't pleased. All the men said, amen. He wasn't pleased with this circumstance. It was not acceptable to him. So don't ever get it in your mind that Joseph was just a weak-willed guy. Oh, well, whatever. No, that wasn't Joseph. He was intent upon the law of the Lord, but he was not intent to see her suffer, even though she had disappointed him greatly. He did not want to expose her to public disgrace. Let me put it to you this way. Because you see, this lesson is a lesson that I believe that the Lord learned both from the word and from his earthly father, Joseph. And that is, he chose mercy over judgment. See, we need to understand that some of these things in our spiritual lives are not just spiritual things, but they are character items. Mercy over judgment will prevail as a character trait. Now it gets really practical here. Because someone does something and justice cries out, stone them. But the character of a righteous person says, my Lord desires mercy over justice. And so we extend mercy. You know, having pastored for these many years, of course, I've heard all the sayings, we shoot our own. There's really not a harder group of people than the people in the house of the Lord on other people who fail, who fall. We don't do this very well. This is a character trait worth learning. And again, I believe that not only did our Lord Jesus learn this from the Word of God, but I believe that he learned it from Joseph. When he was old enough to realize his birth story, I'm sure that there were days in that carpenter shop that he was looking over at that man who was willing to be used of God outside the norm. And even before God ever spoke to him, he was willing to be private and to not hurt Jesus' mother. Now, folks, let me tell you something. There's some lessons there. You say, yes, but I'm just in this. They did this, this, and this. So I'm going to make sure everybody knows about it. That's one way. But the character of a righteous man or woman says, this needs to be done privately. There's no sense in, how do you say it? To expose them to public disgrace. Huh? Joseph could have gone around and gotten family members to have stood with him, for all of them to have said, she's an evil woman. And he would have been fully justified. As a matter of fact, maybe his parents who arranged the marriage, maybe they were the ones to pick up the first stones. But once again, his character called for mercy rather than justice. Can you hear this morning? I hope that somehow or another that the Holy Spirit will bring this down into our hearts. Because see, it's practical. And it's right where we live as a church family. There will be those who will fail and fall right before our eyes. Do stupid things sometimes. Things that we cannot explain. Will we handle those things like Joseph? That's the question. Do we have the spiritual character to not want to expose them publicly, but rather to care for them privately? If time would permit this morning, I could take you to many passages. The Apostle Paul addresses this. He says, restore those gently who have failed among you. Huh? Philip Yancey wrote in his book called So What's So Amazing About Grace. He said, during the British Conference on Comparative Religions, experts from around the world debated what, if any, belief was unique to the Christian faith. They began eliminating possibilities. Incarnation, other religions had different versions of God's appearing in human form. Resurrection, again, other religions had accounts of return from death. The debate went on for some time until C.S. Lewis wandered into the room. What's the ruckus about? He asked. And heard in reply that his colleagues were discussing Christianity's unique contribution among world religions. Lewis responded, oh, that's easy. Grace. After some discussion, the conferees had to agree. The notion of God's love coming to us free of charge, no strings attached, seems to go against every instinct of humanity. The Buddhist eightfold path, the Hindu doctrine of karma, the Jewish covenant, and the Muslim code of law, each offers a way to earn approval. Only Christianity dares to make God's love and mercy unconditional. So I guess what I'm saying is don't just learn from Joseph, but learn from his earthy son, Jesus. Grace, mercy are still ours and should be the character of those who are walking after God. Something to think about anyway, right? Well, it depends on what they do. Nope. You couldn't get more severe than what Joseph was facing. Here, the last point is this. When choice becomes obedience. The change factor here was God speaking into this event. Up until this point in time, through verse number 19, Joseph is in the dark. He is going on the information that he received from Mary. He's going on his decision out of the character of his life to show mercy rather than justice. But now, in verse number 20, it says, but after he considered these things. So God gave him a little bit of time. We don't know how long that was. But there was probably at least a few hours, if not a couple of days, that he had to ponder this whole thing. Kind of like, okay, Joseph, what are you going to do with this? Huh? Anybody else ever find those things? Many times, situations occur in our life. Someone is hostile to us. Something happens, some circumstance. We're faced with, what am I going to do? Well, I'm fully justified in doing this. But then mercy creeps in. Grace creeps in. Unmerited favor creeps in. And something tells you down in your heart, I've got to respond to this differently. And then everything that you have learned, everything that you've studied, everything that the Holy Spirit has taught you up to that point in time is laid down beside whatever this offense is, whatever this struggle is. And so then you are making your decision based upon what God has put in up to that point in time. That's where Joseph is through verse number 19. But then, after God gives him a season to think about it, to consider it, and to see what kind of man he really is, then the Lord puts him to sleep. And that's when he says, Joseph, son of David, now hold on a minute. This is Joseph Carpenter. This is Joseph living in Nazareth. This is Joseph basically an outcast. And he is now addressed by the angel of the Lord. Not in who he is. Thinks he is, but who he is. Whew. Too many of us have an opinion of who we are based on our capabilities, but he knows. I think of an Abiezrite named Gideon, who's down in a cistern, afraid of the Midianites, trying to willow out some grain to feed the family. And the angel of the Lord comes along and says, oh, thou mighty man of valor. He's down in a cistern because he's afraid of the Midianites. And the Lord saw what he was going to do with him. Come on, folks. Just an introduction from the Lord is more than we can even take. I doubt seriously that at any point in Joseph's life that anybody had ever called him a son of David. He was being recognized by an angel of the Lord, the servant, the messenger from God, who is recognizing, you could have been king, Joseph. The only thing that stood in between you and being king of Israel was the sin of Israel. You could have been king. Again, back up and look at the lineage. It flows. But that was a long way from anything that Joseph knew or could even think about. All he knew was providing a living for his family. But the Lord had raised him up and filled him with exactly what he needed to do exactly what God had planned for all of eternity. I said this is when a choice becomes obedient. You see, when Joseph made the choice for mercy instead of justice, God says, here is a man I can use. He will do well in raising my son on earth as a man. He will pour in the essentials that my son needs to grow in stature with and favor with both God and man. He's what I need. So let me tell him what has taken place here. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. God is saying, what's going on here, you may never understand, but I want you to know that this is from me. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save their people from their sins. It was always the prerogative of the father to give the name. You can go to Luke's gospel and see this in Zechariah. As he gave John the Baptist his name, everybody said, well, there's nobody named John in your whole background. Why in the world would you do that? He couldn't talk until he gave him the name. Joseph could have argued this point. So, well, you know, I would really like him to be named after me. No argument. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Joseph isn't in that prophecy, but he is with God. God had a plan. God was working his plan. Do you realize today that Joseph still could have said no? Joseph could have said, no, I'm sorry, this is a bridge too far. This is way too much. I can't handle this. This has never happened before. No one's trained me for this. I'm not a public person. I'm backward. No, this can't happen. I mean, well, you know, what will I tell him? What will I teach him? What will I do? No. It's too big. Instead, we have verse 34, or 24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. I'm thankful that we recognize Mary's contribution to the whole Christmas story. But I think wisdom would have us to stand up and salute a man named Joseph, to realize that he had the character, that even before God spoke to him and gave him all the facts, he had the character, he had the righteousness, if you will, of God inside of him to make the decision for mercy instead of justice. And God gave him all the facts, and without questioning, he did exactly what God told him to do. So let's wrap it up with this. Joseph is faced with an unexpected reality. His virgin wife is with child. Joseph's character choice, mercy instead of justice. Divorce her quietly. Joseph's choice becomes obedient when God gives him revelation knowledge of what is happening. Joseph chooses to do it God's way. And he raised Jesus. Wow. Think about that. I don't know what heaven is going to be like. I think it's going to be a precious place. seems it's going to be a place of great remembrance, great reward. Imagine when Joseph steps before the throne. You think he'll get a well done? Yeah. You know, one day the disciples were trying to decide who was the greatest. That whole thing's so contrary to everything that we learn. They're trying to decide who's the greatest. And Jesus, John's mother is asking, can my sons sit on the right and left side of you when you're in your kingdom? And Jesus said, those are reserved. I can't help but think that Joe's going to have a place at the table. Because he raised Jesus. Here's the question. What plan does God have for your life? You say, well, if he'll lay it all out for me and tell me exactly what it is and give me the power in advance and all the words that I'm supposed to say, then yeah, I'll do whatever he wants. Sorry, it doesn't work that way with God. He wants to find out where you're at right now. He put the challenge before you. Do you love mercy more than justice? That's just part of it. But how do you respond to those that do things that you don't like? Do you want to expose them? Or do you want to deal with it quietly? You see, what choices we make and display are our character. Is your character mercy or justice? When God shows us the road ahead, will we walk in it and walk it out in obedience, or will we do it our own way? You see, I fully believe that God had in Joseph a man that not only was willing to name Jesus, Jesus, but as the Holy Spirit would say to him, teach him this, he was willing to teach it. Steer him in this direction, he was willing to do it. Because see, Jesus grew from the babe in Bethlehem. We don't have a whole lot of that, you know? One verse. He grew in wisdom and stature with both God and man. But the verse right below, before that, it says he, what? Was obedient to his parents. And then the result was that he grew in wisdom and stature with both God and man. So that obedience to parents. This man that we've been talking about this morning, that's part of the Christmas story. This man got to raise the Son of God. Because he was willing, first of all, to show mercy, but second of all, to do God's plan. Now here's the end. What about you and me? Even though it may be difficult, even though it may be impossible for you to think of how it could ever happen, are you willing to live God's plan? He said, well, Jesus has already come. He's already been raised. That job's already taken by Joseph. You're right. But you see, Jesus is coming back again. Let me say it one more time. I think maybe a few more of you might have woke up on that one. I said, Jesus is coming back again. What if, just what if, he's looking for some people. Some righteous men and women who have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, but who have the character of mercy rather than justice, who are willing to be obedient to the Lord and usher in the second coming of Jesus Christ. Come on now, think about it. Just think about it for a moment with me. If you were God the Father, knowing that your Son was coming back into the world to fully redeem the world and to set up on the throne, what would he do in anticipation of that? Would he not look around for some individuals that he could pour his spirit into who would be John the Baptist's? Voices crying out in the wilderness, making way straight the path for the Lord. In other words, seeing how many souls that they could win to the Lord before he comes. You see, this may be as simple as this. Your Joseph moment may be as simple as the Lord laying upon your heart some soul for you to begin to pray over, and pray over until you weep over, and weep over until you actually open up your mouth and say to them, with all of my heart, I want you to know God. I want you to know the Jesus that has washed my sins away. I want you to know him and walk with him and let him walk with you. I want your life to be changed. I want to be in heaven with you. Huh? You see, that might be your Joseph moment. That might be your job. I know it's my job in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is to shout it from the rooftops. You see, this afternoon we will say our farewells to John. Very thankful that I had the privilege of knowing and sharing life with this brother. So much of our sharing was around Jesus and the life that we have in him. There's a whole world full of people that need to know that Jesus is coming back. People who will never, ever hear me preach, but they get to see you every single day. Could I just close this by calling you Joseph this morning? You say, well, what do I do until the Lord speaks to me? Well, show them the character of the decision that you have already made in Christ. Walk the character before them. And then when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and defines that moment, be ready to say yes. Not I'm too busy, I'm too shy. No. Yes. I'm going to ask you very simply this morning, and don't just respond because others are. But I wonder how many in this room. Well, before I say that, you see, you're going to be seeing your relatives. Many of you are going to be with friends. Many of you are going to be celebrating Christmas, even on your job. The Holy Spirit may want this very week for you to share what you know. So I ask this question. I wonder if those in this room who would stand to your feet and say, you know what? I want to be Joseph in my world. What it means is this. Be ready today to show the character of a Christian right now. If there are things in your life that need to change, maybe you have been justice oriented. Why don't you just bow your head right there where you're at and pray, Lord, make me mercy instead of justice. I'm quick to call other people's sins. I'm quick to label their faults, their failures. Lord, fill me with grace and mercy. Remember, folks, it's unmerited favor. They don't have to earn that from you. We give it because of the Jesus in us. I'm going to pray for this part. Father in heaven, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that the relationship that we have in you would be full and rich and powerful and would supersede every other thing in our personality, in our past, and everything that we think that we are, that your mercy and your grace would flow through us to literally everybody that is around us. Those who offend us greatly, those who disappoint us, even in those times where our reality is blown away, it's bigger than anything we can imagine, may we respond with mercy and let you hold justice in your hands. Let it begin right there. And then, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit. Now, these folks have stood, Master, saying that they are willing to live it out like Joseph. They're willing to follow your instructions. As difficult as those instructions may be, they are willing to do what you desire. So I pray that you would show them. As they walk in the character of a believer, I pray, God, that you would show them, whether it's a dream, a vision, a word from your word, whatever it may be, but God, you would speak into their lives and give them a sense of purpose in this last day.